Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctical.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week around our kitchen table at the studios of KHOI Community Radio in beautiful downtown Ames. And we get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yeah. We got lots of friends here. The Donalana Kitchen Show is sponsored in part by Practical Farmers of Iowa, a member-based, farmer-led, nonprofit organization that has been strengthening farms and communities through farmer-led investigations and information sharing since 1985. You can find out more at their website, practicalfarmers.org.
And, Donna, we have a brand-new underwriter.
Woo-hoo!
And we're welcoming a brand new underwriter. Tell us about it.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. More of our favorite people. The Donalana Kitchen Show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub meets community. Find out about their annual Burns Night Supper, the Burns Night Supper, to be held on Friday, January 25th, 2019 already, at Ryman Gardens. For more information, go to themuckyduckpub.com or call the pub and ask for Marcus.
My name is Lana Noctical.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We get together here once a week at the studios of KHOI in beautiful downtown Ames to talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions. Well, we thank our underwriters, and we thank you, our listener, for joining us today. Well, fa-la-la-la-la. I hope you are in the Christmas mood, eh?
Oh, boy. We're working it out in the kitchen, at least. That's always a place to start being Christmassy, because you can do ahead a lot of those things.
You can do ahead, yes. It is beginning to look a lot like the holidays. And one of the things that
I went to Lana's house, and it looks like the elves had been there. There were, like, cookies. Colorful cookies spread out all over. And we'll talk more about that later.
We will talk about sweets for the holiday. Yes, we will. Another thing that happens for the holidays is that you get these things in the mail. And I want to do a shout out to the post office for bringing things.
Oh, yes. Blessed be the post person.
Blessed be the post person. And I found, now this was in my list of things I wanted to mention ages ago. This is from a news article a long time ago. But just to let you know that the post office is playing around with things here, and they're playing around with scratch and sniff forever stamps. Scratch and sniff. So actually,
is that from the child in you?
Yeah. Actually,
what's the smell?
This was kind of last summer. They were playing around with, and they were popsicle flavors. Then I don't know if they have any out for the holidays, but
cinnamon maybe.
But oh, good. But Belgium has a stamp that is a scratch and sniff chocolate stamp. So there you go. There you go.
Belgian chocolates. Okay.
And then, besides seed catalogs that are starting to weigh down the mailbox and weigh down the postman, my goodness.
Are they always coming this early?
Earlier every year. Then you get all these catalogs for things you never thought you needed.
Absolutely.
These gifts.
And you go, how did I get on that mailing list?
I don't know how I'm on this mailing list. But here it is, just in case you want it. It's in a catalog. It's called the Messless Chocolate Milk Mixing Mug. It has its own little automated little stir. It's kind of like a little blender.
Things you cannot live without.
Things you can't live without. So that will set you back. That will set you back about $30, folks. But if you can't stir your own cocoa, here's one that comes with a little mixer. You know, why am I on these lists? And another thing I found for your pet, yes, you can buy a pooch selfie ball. It's got a little camera, a little iCam connected to a ball. You throw it and you can get a picture of your dog's mouth picking up the ball. Isn't that fun?
I've been seeing some of these pet catalogs where you can buy, you know, a $200 piece of furniture that has the cat box concealed inside so you don't have to see it, and supposedly they can't track the litter out, and you're supposed to put it in the front hallway where no one has to bother with it. Looks like a piece of, like a modern Danish stereo console or something, you know.
Oh, so if these things we
I'm sorry, it was not 200. That was about 2000 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Ridiculous.
These things have got really, really, here's a $200 item that I think I'll pass up, but you can get a Return of the Jedi wall clock. So picture a cuckoo clock with Return of the Jedi Star Wars characters popping out of it.
I'm looking at this picture. I have to say, it does look a little tacky.
You can, it'll set you back. It says, like $200 there. Well, okay. If you don't know
for
what
the Star Wars fans, I have one in my family, but I don't think I'll buy them that cuckoo
those
clock.
Those are available this season. Oh, my gosh. It's beginning to look a lot like the holidays. But it's time to gather. Time to eat. Today we'll look at some news items, other news items like that, and then some holiday sweets. But first, let's discuss the feet. Feast. Donna, what's on your platter?
Well, here's the, you know, this is the time of year when everybody wants to eat something. You splurge a little bit. You get that special meal where you don't, you know. So Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. Won't you please put a penny in the old man's hat? Goose.
That's what
was traditional, I think, basically in my father's very German family, and I'm sure they raised their own geese. So geese are a little hard to find around town. I've been surveying all the kind of local outlets where you could buy such a thing, and I haven't seen any. Although one year, and I didn't go and look this year, but the Hy-Vee one year had them in the freezer.
Uh-huh.
But I have spotted around town plenty of ducks.
Not good.
But that's, you know, a much smaller crowd. Now, both ducks and geese have wonderful fat in them. I've seen pheasant. There are frozen pheasants at Wheatsfield.
Oh!
And then, of course, as I said a few weeks ago, I got a very pleasant pheasant present from Paul Willis. So I do have a pheasant in my freezer.
Unlike ducks and geese, pheasants are not so
they are not fatty.
Also, tricky.
Well, you know, you can do something with that. I used to do when I cook rabbit. This is very traditional in French, too, is you put the bacon in. Or if you want to roast the pheasant, you would kind of cover it with bacon slices, or bard it. That's the word for putting fat on it, I believe, in some fashion. So, I mean, the other options are, of course, I went to the new Fairway Meat Market, and they do, of course, have prime rib roast anytime you want it. That is always a holiday favorite. Very, very British, if you want to go that direction. And who doesn't like a big prime rib roast? There are a number of smoked turkeys around town. I saw that, I believe it was Cornbread had a little pamphlet. I'm looking for it now.
Yes, a relatively new establishment here in town.
Yes, so Cornbread, which is going to open soon at the downtown train station, and they have renovated that building, and it looks like they're doing a super job. I'm very excited. That is a beautiful Ames piece of architecture. They are having holiday orders. They need to be placed by December 19th, and they will be ready for pickup, but I don't know where, December 19th or December 24th.
Maybe they will put them down your chimney.
I guess so. You can inquire at info@cornbreadbrebbq.com. They will have whole smoked turkeys, smoked turkey breasts, smoked ham, and whole briskets. And then, of course, there are sides, too, you can get, including desserts, which have a classic chocolate Yule log. Woohoo!
Oh, Yule log.
Okay, this is a French tradition, and it's I always thought it was kind of silly, but it's an old one. In France, and every confectionery store has them, you know, ready. I don't know that anyone makes their own anymore, but it's a cake that's this shape of a piece of wood, and it's
sounds tasty.
It has icing on it that looks like it's a piece of wood, right? It's
okay.
A Yule log.
Well, sure. Bring cake. In a Yule, but you don't light it, I hope.
No.
Oh,
no, you just, oh, now speaking of lighting, okay, here's what we're working on at my house. We did this last night. So there is a German tradition, has some long name, which translates roughly to fire punch or something. So it's basically you're making a mulled red wine, and then that goes in the pot underneath, and it's warm, and it has orange and lemon and spices and red wine, da-da-da-da.
In a pot underneath what? You said pot underneath.
Okay, underneath this little contraption that sits, it's metal because, okay, so you make a sugar cone. So last night we were making sugar cones from a YouTube video, right?
Oh, do tell. What the heck is a sugar cone?
A sugar cone is you mix sugar with just a little bit of water to make it like wet sand. Now, we actually put some pink sprinkles in, so we ended up with pink ones. You can buy these on the internet for like $20, but we made our own. So you spray the inside of a conical glass. Now, I didn't have any conical glasses, and so Jessica's, I mean, we tried other things, but, you know, you pack the sugar in really hard, and then you dump it out, just like you're making molds on sandcastles. Exactly. But here's the triumph of last night. We went, oh, dear, we just don't have the right utensils. I said, what if you go over to the Salvation Army and take a look? And Jessica went running over there, and for 99 cents, she came back with this pointy beer glass that was exactly what they were using in the YouTube video. So we made lots of pink cones, and they're drying in the cupboard. So you dry them out. Once they're dried out.
How big are these cones?
Oh, well, oh, I don't know, 6 inches or something.
Oh, so they look like little pink Christmas trees.
Yes, kind of. And that's why you needed that glass beer mug, you know, the pointy ones, right? Very specific things. So they came out beautiful. We were delighted. You know, they're in the cupboard drying out. So once they dry out, then we're going to try it in the crock pot. Because we did not buy the set on Amazon, right?
Didn't buy the set.
So we're looking for, you need something metal, and you're supposed to rest the cone like on a little bridge across the crock pot. Then you soak it in very strong, like, it has to be 57 proof rum or something. Not the normal rum, the really strong stuff.
Okay.
So you put some of that in, then you light it on fire.
Oh, for gosh
sake. And then, so it's on this little bridge burning, and as it burns, as the sugar melts, it drips into the pot of the mulled wine. Fabulous party trick.
What we're getting a thumbs up and a big smile from our engineer, Cynthia McClure,
right
here. So it must be a good party thing. And you said it has a unpronounceable long German name.
Yes.
Burning sugar cone.
Yeah, you can look it up under, I think I found it by Googling like German fire punch or something
that.
Fire
punch.
Fire punch, right.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well,
it's exciting. So we're in the middle of doing that. And, of course, I'm continuing to make fudge. I made the third flavor. Cardamom and pecans. It was a fruit and nut. Lots of cherries and cardamom.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, the things you put in your fudge, it's just fun.
Well, it's limitless.
We're talking about fun things to do here. And I got to get out this book that Donna gave it to me as a present. So I get it out every now and again. It's called The Kitchen Diaries, A Year in the Kitchen with Nigel Slater.
And the reason we like this is because he is a very good writer.
Yes.
Very good.
See, he's in England and we're over here, and so we can't taste his stuff, you know, but he has a good way of writing about things. And this book is set out diaries, A Year in the Kitchen. So he goes through the months and it's
seasonal.
Nice,
that's the way we like to do things.
So here's a little bit of his thought about what we should be thinking about this time of year. He says, middle of December, the feast starts kind of in your brain, the middle of December, okay? This is Nigel Slater writing. The Christmas shopping list, there has to be one. No one has a memory that good. It's the longest of the year.
Isn't that the truth?
especially if you have left it to the 11th hour to stir the pudding. If we are to make sense of the feast and the umpteen lesser meals that surround it, we need to include some dishes that will carry over from one meal to the next. A vast piece of ham, say, served with potato cakes and buttered spinach, only to be brought out the next day, cold, but with just as much pride, in thin slices with a dazzling salsa.
Ooh.
Consider, also, here's one.
I'm doing ham, so this sounds good.
Oh, we'll talk about that. Consider also a roast guinea fowl, huh?
Oh, we'll never find those around here unless we start to grow our own.
Right. Well, yeah.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like chicken bumped up one notch.
They're also extremely loud, so I have no desire to raise my own guinea fowl.
Oh, but they're so cute.
They are cute.
They are so cute. They have polka dot feathers.
Guinea fowl.
My mother used to have a hat made out of polka dot feathers.
Actually,
memorable for a child, I must say.
Come to think of it, I think my mom did too.
They are cute.
Not all, but it had some of those feathers.
Yeah.
Ah, so roast guinea fowl or pheasant, whose bones can be used later for a parsley-flecked broth for ravioli.
Oh, yes. Don't forget to save the bones if you use any fowl or beasts.
Huh. A whole salmon. A vast pork pie. A rib of beef are all ingredients that will introduce some sanity into the proceedings, both practically and financially. He's talking about his Christmas dinner here. Last year, I paid a king's ransom for a piece of ham, boned, rolled, and scored by the butcher, which I poached in organic, unfiltered apple juice with an onion, a fat carrot, a stick of celery, and four flowers of star anise.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Oh, I let it cool a while, peeled away the skin, then spread the joint thickly with a hot, sweet mixture of marmalade, seed mustard, the juice and the zest of an orange, and a handful of fresh white bread crumbs. Then I let it bake.
Oh, my goodness. He poached it, then he baked
again.
Oh, this is fabulous,
to
Lana.
A soft, golden brown glaze. It was a huge success with a mound of braised black leaf kale and a salt-crusted baked potatoes. Huh. And he's talking about what to do later. 2 days later, the generous remains appeared in sandwiches with watercress and hot onion pickles, some potato crisps on the side, and then again in paper slices with a salad of raw fennel, green olives, and lemon. The first meal took a while to prepare. The second and third made themselves. Over the next week or so, I shall endeavor to sit down and give an hour or so's thought as to the Christmas feast. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? I know it sounds all like a bit of good housekeeping, but I really cannot face a last-minute panic on Christmas Eve. Been there, done that.
Absolutely.
So that
was
a little bit of thought by Nigel Slater. And besides all of these, he has recipes in this book. And, of course, you're going to go out and get a King's Ransom kind of ham. Talk about your ham, Donna.
So my son has his own slaughterhouse in Vermont.
That's handy.
Yeah, absolutely. But that means it has to come through the mail. So he sent a ham last year, and he's sending a ham this year, apparently. I'm certainly hope so. And I did it, and I'm going to do it again this year. I bought, you know, the traditional pineapple on the ham thing. Love it. But I bought fresh pineapple, not canned. They usually have it, you know, already sliced with the rings and everything. So it's easy peasy. And I stuck the cloves in it, and I used some kind of non-neon red cherries, I think. But then I did the glaze where I took Lana's basil jelly.
Ha, good thing.
And I put it into a little pan and I melted it down and added some peach brandy that my neighbor had made. And oh my goodness, it made the best glaze in the world. And of course it was good the next day and the next day and the next day. Oh, yum, yum, yum.
I do like that next day and next day. And you mentioned goose earlier. I haven't had goose in ages. And
I haven't either, but I do love goose.
The only I have seen a goose. They've been flying in low V's over our house. And they're big. Oh, my goodness, they're big.
Get out your bow and arrow, honey, and land one of those things. Woohoo.
Oh, I wonder if I could. No, I could try.
You might get the old slow ones, and then they wouldn't be so good. But
I don't know. Goose. Yeah, ever since they put in that Ada Hayden lake, a little north of Ames, boy, with the goose population has, in our area, has gone up a lot. It used to be quite a thing to see a goose. Well, of course, you'd see them going north or south, way, way up in the sky. But now they're kind of...
We're in the flyover zone now.
Yeah. I think we are in the... Some of them stay here for a long time because there's big groups, and I see them flying back to the lake, to whatever they do at the lake. So good for them. Good for them. Yes. Also, I want to put in thinking of getting your bow and arrow out and getting you. I have the great good pleasure of knowing a number of hunters, and we encourage, because we have way too many deer, that is a value judgment, but way too many deer. And so some really fantastic hunters have supplied us with chunks of venison. And venison for Christmas or venison for
So they're out hunting in your woods, right?
Yeah. Actually, the early...
So
the
your
early
gift is like a tribute to the landlord here when you get your venison.
It's true. Right. Don't forget to ask for your share. Actually, they're usually pretty good about share. It's really... these are friends that have hunted... one in particular, hats off to Kenny, who's out there every now and then hunting. And he's a bow hunter, and he does a fine job, and he does a respectful job. And there's something about, of course, they always, the deer gets shot long about dusk, and it gets way too dark, way too early, so there's always this scramble of finding them. And so here it is at 7 o'clock at night, and knock, knock, knock on the door, open the door, and here is this frost-encrusted hunter with his glasses all fogged up with the biggest smile on. He's just like a kid, biggest smile. I got myself a deer, and we get to hear the story. It is so nice to have someone do that and provide us with some venison. So a venison roast is a fine thing. Mm. Now, I've always been thinking about, because recipes call for this, and I haven't done it. Talk about juniper berries. Have you ever cooked with juniper berries for either beef or venison?
Oh, a lot, but I'm trying to think. I use juniper with pork.
Pork, okay.
Yeah, like I used to make a pulled pork that I put juniper in. And actually, my two juniper trees, which I had for 10 or 15 years, got bowed over in a snowstorm last year, and we had to get rid of them. But it is, you can have your local juniper berries. And in fact, one year, there was an ISU class and a lovely teacher who brought them to my house to talk about local foods. So we went out in the yard, picked the juniper berries, and then I had made a sorbet where I had taken like apple juice and boiled it with the juniper berry so it was infused.
Oh, for goodness
sake. And made a juniper berry flavored sorbet.
Ah.
It gives you that. It's a lovely flavor. It's not piney. It's the berry. So it's
wintry.
It's a foresty feeling. Yeah. So it's very good with poultry and pork. I have never used it with beef, but I don't know why not.
I looked up a venison recipe, and that had...
That sounds very good. You know, they have them in bulk at the co-op. You can buy them. Yeah.
If you don't have your own bush.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Isn't juniper berry the tasting that they flavor gin with sometimes?
Possibly, yeah.
Oh, see?
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
We agree with that. So that is... It's a good... You're right. It's not piney, but it does taste wintry. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it does. See... We don't always deal with these big hunks of protein.
Right. This is feast.
But it's feast time. And now is the time to kind of plan ahead, whether you're doing a Christmas meal or a solstice meal or a New Year's meal or Hanukkah meal. Well, missed Hanukkah. But Kwanzaa's coming up. There's all things kind to celebrate.
Solstice is the universal one because everybody has the sun shining on them.
That's true.
It's the non-denominational winter holiday.
Yeah, we are all in this together, and if we can't, well, I guess there are people that still are arguing about whether the Earth goes around the sun or not, but that's all right. They can just go eat cornflakes.
It's only a matter of perspective. Who cares, right?
That's it. So we're talking about the feast. We are talking about the feast. This is KHOI, and this is Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa. Welcome back. You are listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen, and we are talking planning for the holidays. Yes, we've been talking about
shopping,
all kinds of good things. Donna, talk about sourcing some of this stuff. I've been poking around town
to see what fabulous things we're having for the season. So I called out to Story City Locker, and Bobby Gustafson told me, well, in fact, they sell out of all of their holiday meats before Thanksgiving. So, folks, keep that in mind. Next year, if you want something that's been, you know, locally harvested, get your orders in at Story City before Thanksgiving. However, she did say one seasonal special thing that they are making, and it is available now, is the potato ring bologna.
Ooh.
So that's, she said, a Danish and a Swedish specialty. It actually sounds yummy and worth a drive out there. Of course, I expect you better get out there quickly because it's probably going to go fast. So that is our local specialty from the Story City Locker. Get your potato ring bologna.
Oh, all of this stuff. Sounds like holiday stuff.
Somebody's tradition is somebody else's brand new special item.
Yes. So we've talked about duck and goose and beef and ham. What about there's other things. There's seafood and oysters, Donna.
Well, now this is something I do for the solstice usually because I love oysters. Now here we are in the middle of a huge continent with no ocean for thousands of miles, and what's a girl to do? Well, there is ordering on the internet with a FedEx overnight delivery. Woohoo! So I have used this company for several years. It is Island Creek Oysters. It comes from Massachusetts. And I would encourage you, if you want fresh oysters, their oysters are very good, and their shipping is very reliable.
Oh, good.
It's certainly better, I think, than anything that you can buy locally, all of which has to be flown in anyway. So you might as well have your own private stash. So you can order in kinds of different quantities, and there are other companies doing this now, but Island Creek has been doing it for a number of years, and I can vouch for their efficiency and their deliciousness. They also are now sourcing some caviars and other New England tidbits that you can order. So go online, get that order in there. If I want them for the solstice, which is on a Friday, I actually try to get the delivery the day before just in case FedEx has a little snafu. Like one year, they didn't come. It was like the night of the oyster opening, you know, and solstice is a specific time you want it.
Well,
then.
But there's also winter storms and airplane closing.
So I actually had to go out to the FedEx warehouse and say, my oysters are in your truck somewhere and I don't want them sitting overnight in a heated warehouse. And by golly, they found them for me and we got them. But other times they've always been delivered right to my door just in perfect time. And it's a really fun experience. Of course, you have to be willing to open them yourselves, and I have quite a collection of oyster knives. So, oysters for the holidays with some bubbly, of course.
Yes. And you mentioned something.
Oh.
Salt cod.
Okay.
I tasted some of this stuff at your house once.
Well, this time of year, they have it. You'll see it. Like, I got mine at the Fairway downtown, not at the Fairway Meat Market, have you? They did not have it there. It's what you'll see next to the herring in a little wooden box.
Oh.
You know, it's that odd thing you'll see. Sometimes they have it at Hy-Vee, too. This time of year, they have it. So I got myself a couple boxes of that, and it is the traditional salt cod. So you have to, you know, it's this funny long piece of fish that looks like an ugly gray piece of leather. And you soak it and change the water. And you soak it and change the water. And you keep doing this till you've taken the salt out of it or a good deal of it. And then the classic dish in French, it's called brandade. In Spanish, it's called bacalao. So it's basically mashed potatoes. And then you cook the salt cod. Finally, when you've desalted it, you cook it in milk.
Huh.
And then you smush it up and mix it into the mashed potatoes. So you kind of end up with a really cod-like mashed potato thing.
Huh.
And then you can put a brown crust on it in the oven if you want to, and things like it's just it's another thing I do for the, I do a lot of fish for solstice. So we have oysters, and then the brandod, and then of course I have to go in the German direction and make. There's a pickled. I actually just get the pickled herring that everybody has around town, and I drain off the usual. You know, it's a little vinegary, so I do drain it quite well, and then I add apples, horseradish, and sour cream, and more onions, and mix that up and serve that cold, which is really easy and really delicious. And the leftovers are great.
So there's fish for the holidays, yes. Too. Seafood, yes, yes, yes. Oh, from the Donalana Kitchen News Department, this is not really holiday news. Well, it is sort of holiday news. Everything is connected to everything else. Here's a news item. Well, then this is very local, but I'm sure this is happening all over the country.
Yes, this is our bummer news.
This is some bummer news. Well, there is a proposed hog confinement happening for the county that we are living in right now. It's still
right here in Story City.
Yeah, and it's pretty close to the town of Nevada. And yeah, the people that are going to open it are local farmers. But those are awful lot.
This sounds like the song in The Music Man. Right here in River City. It starts with P and it rhymes with T and it stands for trouble.
Or confinement.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Trouble. It would be trouble.
This is in the opening stages here, folks. So we will keep you informed here. There's three hog confinements, 5,000 hogs each. So there will be something.
Right around Nevada.
There will be hearings. There will be people talking about this. Also, there's some other stuff happening. Remember the Gulf of Mexico and the nutrients that have been flowing down from the Midwest, poisoning the Gulf of Mexico and causing
a dead zone.
Well, about 10 years ago, everybody, oh, we got to do something about this. Got to get all these people signed up. And so just thought I'd kind of see what's happening. And I want to tell you, not much.
This is our voluntary nutrient reduction standards.
No, we're not doing too good. There's 12 central states that are supposed to be on this. Only 5 even established a baseline for it. It doesn't mean they're doing anything. And there's a lot of stuff that's still going down.
And wasn't there, was a recent study that Iowa is contributing a rather largely disproportionate amount of nitrates into this, because we've got both the Missouri River and the Mississippi River as our border. So we are very guilty on this one.
Yeah. We're talking about it. We are talking about it. And
yeah,
so
talking
Minnesota,
for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe that should be on our list of New Year's resolutions.
Well, Minnesota did something.
Yeah,
I know they have
something.
A law now that you cannot apply nitrates in the fall after a certain date.
Yeah, see, they passed a little something.
Yep.
Only one state, Minnesota, requires farmers to implement a strategy. So that's good. So there's a lot to be done. So that could maybe be on our New Year's resolution pile. Yes, it can. And I want to mention, I got a little bit of a editorial here written by Frances Moore LePay, and
she's the author of Diet for a Small Planet.
We are really affecting the planet. Now's the time to work on all those things. Climate change, people are trying to sit up and take notice, and she mentions being good and being kind. It's not really the time for us to be good and kind. We can be good to our loved ones close, but on a situation like this, when it comes to the planet, this is chaos, folks. And now is the time not for kindness, but for courage. So I think she's saying, don't back down.
You know, we want to have a habitable future for our grandchildren. Goodness gracious.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Let's have another tune from the Baltimore Consort. You heard before a tune called Christmas Day in the Morning, and here's another one. This year, listening to KHOI, this is 89.1. This is the Donalana Kitchen. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We said we'd talk about sweets today, and Donna said, came over my house, and yes, I was kind of knee-deep in Christmas cookies.
Oh, yeah, everywhere. The dining room table, the kitchen counters. It was a beautiful sight.
Well, if you're going to make a mess, make a pretty mess. Make a pretty mess. Donna alerted me to this New York Times website or New York Times article on a website called How to Decorate a Sugar Cookie Like a Pro.
I thought we'd run that one by Lana for her comments on this because she's decorating like a
pro. I'm not a pro. I decorate like my mom. Okay, first off, I don't do fancy. Well, I love
cookies. Oh, now wait a minute. They look pretty fancy to me.
Well, I've been making the same kind for years, and a lot of it does have to do with getting your icing right, getting the frosting right, and just be kind of deft at putting it up. Yes. Yes. One thing I want to recommend, if you're going to do icing, this works for cake too, but if you're going to deal with icing on cookies, I don't know what to call it.
It's called an icing spatula. Okay. It's not like the rubber spatula that you scrape the bowls with. This is a little, think of it as like a paring knife, a longish paring knife with no blade and a round point.
And a very flexible
metal right.
blade.
It helps you, like you can imagine, if you're icing a cake, you can make big
swoopy
moves across the top.
So my little spatula is a
very handy tool.
Very handy tool. And also have a great big spatula with a blade
about.
Oh, they
mean the same thing, only bigger.
Same thing,
right.
Which is great to go under a rolled out cookie dough to help things up if you have to, or pie crust, too.
Right.
But that is really, really important. I have been using my grandmother's white cookie recipe, which the recipe says start out with 1 cup of Crisco, but I have lately been making all my white cookies.
Oh, this is for your rolled cookies.
My rolled cookies, for the rolled base of these things. I've been making them with lard. Lard
Yay!
Is good. And Donna likes that. And it's got sugar and 3 eggs, vanilla, flour, soda, cream of tartar, and salt.
Well, it does give a very nice texture.
It does make a really nice, sturdy cookie. And then you bake those. Let them cool. Now, if you look in recipes, you find a term called royal icing. I think that's a big term. It's powdered sugar and lots of stuff. So and usually powdered sugar and beaten egg whites, but I don't use egg whites. I just use water and a little tab of butter.
You put butter.
Yeah, just because. And that's why. And getting the texture right is important. You mix and mix. You can go back and forth and back and forth.
Right. You can get too wet or too dry.
So this advice from the New York Times writer said, start out with a really runny batch, which you can, what they could say, flood cookies, what makes a smooth frosting, and also you can make a thicker batch that you can pipe in a piping bag. I didn't do any of that this year. You can just drizzle if you want to, but and that texture should be like toothpaste.
It holds its shape more.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Like Donna said, you just spread things all out. And you get ready with all your little sprinkles and everything ready. I pick up.
Because you have to have your mise en place. That's in the kitchen. The setup is ready.
It's so nice to know a professional cook. Very good. So this year, and I make these every year. Actually, this is just a biscuit cutter dough. It's a round cookie, and this is easy.
Of course, she makes them into wreaths. They're so cute.
Turn them into wreaths. I put a little green food coloring in a little bit of this rather thin icing, and then holding it in your hand, you can go around with the spatula and just make a ring, leave an empty space in the middle, a ring of green, which makes this round cookie look like a wreath. I add sprinkles, and I always add the little hot, what do you call them, little
red hot candies for the berries? Oh, they're so cute.
I put little berries on for red hot candies. And that's then I also do trees and stars.
All the shapes and stuff.
Yeah. You can drizzle. You can make things smooth. You can make things fancy.
I use the Joy of Cooking has a, it's called a rich roll cookie dough. And I use butter in mine.
Yeah,
but I have to say, this lard, has a little softer texture. The butter goes more crisp.
Crunchy.
And,
mm-hmm.
But it makes the cookies more delicate, too, and they, so they break more easily. This lard thing is a really, really good innovation. And I was brought up to make the frosting with lemon juice.
Ha! Huh. I never have.
Lemon juice and not too much, of course, and powdered sugar. Or if you want to go another direction, just vanilla extract and powdered sugar.
I do sometimes add vanilla, mm-hmm. but just putting a little drop. I don't know. Maybe the oil in the butter kind of makes it a little.
Well,
I'd
never put oil in the
just
butter.
Tiny.
Great idea. I like that idea.
It kind of keeps things smooth.
Not quite so brittle when it dries.
Yeah, that's good. Also, a family tradition is using this same cookie recipe. The same cookie base, and putting a dab of a date filling in the cookie and folding it over.
Oh, so you make the filling. What's in the filling? Dates
the filling
and?
Is 1/2 pound dates, 1/4 cup sugar, 1 cup water, the juice of 1 lemon.
Uh-huh.
You simmer for 5 minutes. Make sure the dates are all chopped
just
up.
Break it down.
Right. And then you've got this thick jelly sort
well,
of
you
stuff.
Make a, so you're using that same round cookie
round
cutter,
cookie.
Put a dab of the dates on it, and then fold it over. So it looks like a little miniature turnover.
It's a miniature turnover, or yeah, a taco. Or and sometimes I remember my family also mixing some poppy seed with the dates.
Oh, yeah.
That's a very...
And I bet you could stick a candied orange peel
in there.
In there.
You could in there, too.
Yes.
But those are good. I usually drizzle some frosting on that, too. But you don't have to. It's a... that's a good cookie,
Does
too.
Does it have a name?
No.
Traditional name?
It's called Elsie's Date-Filled White Cookies.
Okay.
I don't know what they're called. And that is kind of the taste of Christmas for me. You have to make some of those, especially the fold-over kind. And, boy, is that good with a cup of coffee in the morning. There you go. Another thing that we kind of think about is for parties and whatever, popcorn. I want to mention that on the Donna Lana Kitchen website, you can go to khoifm.org, find all of our past shows archived there, but there's also a recipe page, and there's holiday recipes there. There is something called oven caramel corn, and if you go through that, it's not hard to do. I got that recipe, and it's a Christmassy thing. I got that recipe from my good Aunt Tiny. Aunt Tiny also appears on the recipe page for her dirt cake recipe. And yes,
famous
dirt cake. Well, you look that up too. But this is Aunt Tiny's oven caramel corn, and she uses maple syrup or even the Mrs. Butterworth's kind of pancake syrup to make it. And if you cook that in the oven for a while, this stuff.
So you make the syrup, mix it all up.
Put it in the popcorn,
stick it in the oven and let it dry out in the oven, basically.
And stir it every now and then, lift it, stir it. And it lasts for a long time in all of those ice cream pails that you've saved, you know, or the big Tupperwares. It
makes gifts.
It makes wonderful gifts.
I'm going to try. So we were at the Farm to Folk open house last week or whenever it was, and the salt liquors lady had a new flavor, which was basically, as far as I can tell, probably a little bit of salt and some chocolate powder and cinnamon, right?
And a little bit of cayenne. It was a little hot.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So she made up some popcorn, and she said her recipe was Karo syrup, this spice mixture, and butter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna try that one for the holidays too.
It was good, and just the kind of thing. It doesn't always have to be sweet in the popcorn. Even just some of your flavored popcorns are good for the Christmas too.
Oh right, I'm sorry, I forgot. She probably has sugar in that mix.
This one was sweet.
Or the Karo syrup would
make it sweet too.
Yeah, right.
But just putting out a flavored popcorn is kind of a nice thing. Yes, it is. Very good. Oh, I remember popcorn balls as a kid, but they're just a little bit too much. I don't care for popcorn balls.
Well, you can break your teeth on them.
Yeah, but that's that too.
Children like that sort of thing, and they also like making that sort of thing. It is a good, quick thing to make with children too.
It is. So very good. So don't be afraid of decorator cutout cookies. There's a fun thing to do. And there's no such thing as a failed cookie. They're all edible. Yes, they are. this writer,
New York Times.
Writer from the New York Times, Liz Journeau, also, and I don't do this, but she suggested if you're going to store these cookies, and they do, they last a while, she suggests stacking them up like books, stand them on their side in a plastic container. Cookies can be stored flat, but it's safer to stack them on their sides like library books.
Okay, her icing must be a bit delicate.
The pictures, they're to die for, but of course. So you could do that. They can be frozen, but do not open the container until the cookies have thawed to avoid the ravages of condensation on your icing.
Oh, of course. What a good idea.
Yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. So these are some make-ahead things. Yes, they are.
Right. So, and the article, it's NewYorkTimes.com, mm-hmm. How to Decorate a Sugar Cookie Like a Pro. It has a lot of details in there. So if you're feeling like maybe you want more information, that is a good source.
Yes.
Might be a little over the top. It's not necessary to be that fancy, but they are. There's a lot there.
They're fun. They're a nice thing to add to a holiday plate.
And pictures, too.
Pictures are good. Yeah. I'd never spend that much time on a cookie. My gosh, she's
If you were on the staff of the New York Times and getting paid to be in their kitchen,
right.
You know.
All right, there you go. All right. So there's some sweets for the holiday. Yes, it is. I like music this time of year. Yes, I do. And one thing you can do is sing. Have a caroling party. Really, we all know the words to some of those songs.
Boy, I mean, they are engraved in your primal memory bank there.
Yes. Like I said, caroling, singing. This is good stuff here. Singing is good. Singing can be, and not just kind of put down your cell phones and your devices. I don't think you need to look at that. Just look at each other and sing. I've been out on some.
You can hum along if you've forgotten the words.
You can hum along. It should start with a good potluck, but then tumble out into your neighborhood and scare your neighbors. Go knock on their door.
And a little mulled wine.
Yeah. And sing on their porch. They'll be a little taken aback. The dog may bark. I know. But it's a good thing to do. Here's some upcoming things happening. On Wednesday, there is Christmas caroling at Iowa State Wesley Hall. Huh? That's on Wednesday. And Friday, get this. Friday at DG's Tap House. And this is the second year they've done it.
Oh, this is on Main Street. This will be fun.
Beer and hymns, 6 o'clock p.m. at DG's Tap House. Why not just sing?
That's this Friday?
Friday, okay? DG's Tap House. Sing. Here's some more stuff. At the Ames Public Library, Saturday, December 15th, there is a ukulele holiday sing-along. Ukulele / banjo holiday sing-along. Why not? And Sunday, December 16th, and there's more singing. Come to the, that's at the library. Good. So there's lots of good things going on. And tomorrow, a Wednesday, right here at KHOI, part of the membership drive, we're always looking for new members. This is a member-driven organization. There is going to be a musical tribute to the Beatles. The group called Rocky Raccoon is going to play part of the Pantorium sessions. Come and hear that. That is 7 p.m.
So that's live music in the studio on which day?
7 p.m. tomorrow, Wednesday.
Oh, tomorrow night. Okay.
December 12th.
Ah, the Beatles. All you old Beatles fans, come on out.
You can sing along with that, too. Yes. And at the Mucky Duck, there's Christmas caroling happen there every now and then because Sundays they have the Sunday Christmas roast happening this month, and you can go out for a fine meal. And if you go to the Mucky Duck website, he does a fine job of explaining the English roast for Sunday dinner tradition on his website. He has a great little explanation.
Yes, Marcus is our very own Iowa, very British resident.
And it's so nice to have a pub culture, as he says. That is very, very good. So there are Mucky Duck Christmas dinners happening, and he can probably even tell you what Bubble and Squeak is. We'll talk about that next time, I think. Bubble and Squeak, another English. See, we learn so many things.
Yes, and
from
the other thing on his menu is the spotted dick.
Oh, I like that too. See? Go and have a good time. You have been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. Listen to this fine program every Tuesday at noon. It's repeated Tuesday at 7 p.m. You can find out more at khoifm.org. Well, Donna, we talked about holiday feasts today.
Yum.
Yum, holiday feast.
Yum, yum, yum,
yum. Your pheasant, your goose, and your oysters. We're looking forward to this.
Oh, we have planned a very merry season.
Go to the website, khoifm.org, to find out more about the Donalana Kitchen and many more fine programs here on this fine community radio station. And join us. Poke the donate button when you go to that website. We count on you. Lend us your ears. Your support makes this happen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had fine engineering by Cynthia McClure. This is a joint effort by lots of fine folks. Slide into the holidays with good cheer. Eat good food and enjoy life.